Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit my website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today, I got my longtime friend Jack Wang from Longhorn Financial with us. As always, guys, remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. This should not be construed as financial advice. As always, seek a qualified financial advisor before you make any decisions in life. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kevin. Always great to be on.
Jack, I'm putting you right on the spot today. I want to know, within plus or minus $100, how much money do I need to retire? Can you help me out?
Plus or minus $100, huh?
Yeah, you got to be close, man. Chuckle.
Exactly. You know, it's the age-old question, right? Like, why is the sky blue? And are we alone in the universe? And how much money do I need to retire? You know, and that's a great question. It's one of the most common questions of personal finance. And I'm going to tell you something that is kind of counterintuitive, but I'll explain why later. And that's, it kind of depends on how you want to take the money out. So the answer is it's not necessarily a hard and fast number, like I need this much money to be able to retire. What it is it depends on how much income you can generate from assets, from whatever, in retirement so that you have enough money in retirement. So I kind of think about, you know, I think about it in terms of like my dogs. So I have one dog who's really food motivated, and if I would let her, she would just dive into the entire pile of dog food and just eat it all without thinking about tomorrow, right, or the next day or whatever. You know, the reason that she doesn't do that is because we control her food. But so retirement planning is kind of the same way. Like, all of a sudden you get this pile of money. You don't necessarily know how much to take out if it doesn't necessarily generate a hard and fast income, and so there's no way of knowing how to make it really last. So, but if it does generate a certain amount of income, then you can actually plan around it. So it's a dog food answer. It's a little strange, I get it, but that's ultimately sort of what the answer is. It's not a hard and fast, you need this number.
So, Jack, you know, at a networking event one day, I saw a financial person stand up and say, hey, look, if you're over 50 and you haven't saved this much money, you're not retiring. Accept it. Is that really the case?
Yeah, you know.
I mean,
that,
you should see it. A
couple
people started crying. They were like,
yeah,
I'm
retiring. I don't doubt it.
That was a very awkward situation.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes people go by that. And there's really, you know, and this is part of the challenge, right, is that when it comes to retirement planning, how much money you need, like I said, how much income you generate, really comes down to sort of two schools of thought. One school is it's actually called the probability-based approach, and the other school is called the safety-first approach. Probably the best-known version of the probability approach is the 4% rule, meaning that for whatever money you have, take out 4% a year. Before taxes, you can take out 4% a year, and that'll, you know, more than likely last you 30 years. Well, if you think about that, that means if you have $100,000 in your 401k, you can take out $4,000 for the year, right? Not a month, the year. So that's not very much. And that may or may not work depending on what the market does. The inverse of that is the 25 times rule. So if you think about if you actually want $100,000 a year, you know, what, you know, how much would you need so that 4% equals 100,000? Well, the inverse is you take that number, you times it by 25. So if you want $100,000 a year, it means you need $2.5 million in your 401k, let's say. Well, that's a lot of money, right? So the other thing is what's called the safety first approach. And the safety first approach really kind of utilizes what's called an income floor. When you take into account Social Security and pensions and whatever other sources of guaranteed income, so that the more of that you have, the less you have to rely on your 401k. So, for example, if you wanted $100,000 a year, but Social Security and a pension make up $80,000 a year, Well, then you only have a gap of 20,000, and 20,000 using the 4% rule means you only need $500,000 for the 401k balance, right? A much more, still a lot, well, a big number, but much more manageable. So when people say, like, by this age, you need this much saved, they're probably using what's called the probability-based approach, which can lead to just some really big, scary, tear-inducing numbers, and I totally get it. It's scary.
So now, you brought up Social Security, so let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the basic rules? I think people really struggle, Jack, with, like, okay, if I can start taking it at X age, why not? I mean, why not get my money now? I mean, we never know how long we're going to live. How do you make that decision about when you should take it?
Yeah, generally speaking, so the basic rules, you can take it as early as age 62, okay? And then, but at 62, your benefit, how much you get, is going to be reduced by about 25% of whatever would have been at what's called your full retirement age, which is anywhere between 65 and 67, depending on the year you're born. If you wait till age 70, so if you wait till after your full retirement age, then that benefit actually goes up. So that age 70, it's actually 24% to 32% more than it would have been at full retirement or FRA. How you decide is really kind of a matter of personal preference and health and longevity and lots of factors. But what I can say is this, is that, part of what people want to think about is always the break even. And so generally speaking is you want to know, if I take early versus if I take late, what age do I have to live to so that it's worth it to sort of take it late, right? Like if I take it late and I end up with more money, so what's that break even point? And that's different for everybody, unfortunately. So there's no hard and fast answer.
So the rule is if I can tell you exactly when I'm going to die, you can give me an answer. That would make it easier for you, right?
Exactly, right. So since we know when we're going to hit by the bus, I can work backwards from that. Exactly.
So what would be the strategy then? How do you go about, it almost seems overwhelming. You save your whole life. And for me, one of the challenges, when you look at this, Jack, you're like, okay, how much money do you need? Well, we start with, what do you plan on doing in retirement? So maybe you're somebody that says, I want to travel the world. Your plans have a factor in this too, right? If you're going to go from just, hey, maybe having no mortgage, conservative car, to you're going to travel the world, that has to play into it, right?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And, and so the strategies, so the general rule of thumb, and this is, you hear this a lot in the news about trying to wait as long as possible before claiming Social Security. So typically that means waiting till age 70, because that's when Social Security maxes out for everyone. You can wait till longer, but it doesn't increase anymore, so no sense waiting till after 70. With married couples, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different combinations, so it does get a little bit more complicated for married couples. But one strategy, now, depending on how much people have in their 401k, one of the things that retirement planning implicitly assumes is that you want enough money to last through. So you want enough money on day one so that if you are retired for 30 years, at the end of 30 years, you still have some money left over. Well, we talked about how that can be a lot of money, and not everyone can do that. So a couple things is you can come up with a savings strategy that sort of has money to retirement. And what I mean by that is if you don't have a lot of savings in your 401k or whatever, okay, fine, it is what it is. And so chances are you're going to be relying mostly on Social Security, depending on what your plans are. But if you know that you're going to be mostly relying on Social Security, then you want to have that as much as possible, right? Maximize that as much as possible. So instead of trying to make your money last through retirement, 30 years or whatever that number is, right, what you may want to do is have it last enough so that you can delay Social Security until 70. So, for example, if you want to retire at 65, do you have enough saved to maybe carry you until age 70, at which point you would claim Social Security? right? Things like that. So there's a lot of different combinations, but just one thing to note that there's studies that are done where most pre-retirees say, well, you know what, I'll wait till like 65, 66 to claim. But in reality, most people end up claiming about 63 because they need the money, because their health, because they're forced in retirement and stuff. So just something to watch out for. But again, the money you save doesn't always have to last through retirement. But what you say is clear is that if people have a good understanding of what it is that they actually want to do in retirement, travel the world or just sit on the couch and watch TV, whatever that is, right, that's a goal to aim for. So it gives you some framework to be able to figure out, okay, well, if I want to do this then, how much do I need to save now?
Yeah, I guess that's always been my challenge with it, Jack. I look at it and say, okay, I do have some money, and I'm going to pull that money out of my retirement accounts, and then, God forbid, you die prematurely. It's like, okay, I missed out on Social Security, and I used my funds that are no longer available for my family. So it's kind of complicated.
It really is. And people do have that fear. My mother, my own mother has that kind of fear. And she's already retired, but she ended up claiming on the early side because of what you said. Well, if I don't live that long, then I didn't get my share back. Yeah, I totally understand the mentality, but you also have to understand that if you claim early, your benefits are permanently reduced. So if your benefits are permanently reduced, right, by claiming early, then that means that you need to take that much more out of your 401k or whatever to make up for that shortfall. And that by taking more out of the 401k, that money's not going to last as long. So yeah, you might have gotten your money back, quote unquote, let's say, but it might cause you bigger problems down the road. So the view is always, how do I maximize income, not sort of, am I going to get, you know, miss out on this deal or something, right? That's not really what it's about.
So, Jack, you mentioned pensions. And for many of us, like ourselves, who work for ourselves, you know, no one's handing us a pension at the end of 30 years. What do other people do that don't have access to pensions?
Yeah, not everyone has a pension. And when we talk about pensions, what we're really talking about is guaranteed lifetime income, right? A paycheck that just always comes no matter what the stock market does or whatever. It just shows up every year, every month, whatever. So the thing about pensions, and people can create their own private pensions, right? I want to start off by saying that you can actually create your own. In fact, most people have been contributing to their pension all through their working years, their pension being known as Social Security, guaranteed lifetime income. However, one of the things about pensions and why it's a great strategy if you do it is because it's much more efficient with money. So we talked about how much income you can get out of a balance, right, or a base of assets. Well, pensions are much more efficient at that because of something called a mortality credit, which essentially means that you benefit from other people dying early, okay? And that's really what it is. So it'd be no different than if, like, you got your coworkers to name you as the beneficiary on their 401k account. So when they, you know, kick over, you get the money that they don't use. Pensions, that sort of happens implicitly. And so as a result, when we compare pensions to, like, the 4% rule, pensions can actually pay out a lot more money than a non-pensionized pool of assets. And so there's the 4% rule, but pensions can go 5, 6, 7%. And, you know, whatever that percentage is, depending on age and other factors, is also guaranteed for life. So it can be, you know, for every dollar of asset, it can squeeze out a lot more income, which, again, builds that base in retirement so that you don't have to rely on the 401k as much. Thereby, you need less than the 401k, right? So, you know, back to when you first asked me, how much do I need to retire? That's why it really depends on if you do these things or not, right? If you do these things, don't need as much. If you don't do these things, you need a lot more, basically.
Jack, got about a minute left. What's your contact information? How can people learn more?
Yeah, people can always find me on my Facebook page at www.facebook.com/longhornfin. or people can email me at jack@longhornfin.com.
Jack, appreciate you taking the time out of the day to call on the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thank you, Kevin.
Have a great day. Bye now.
You too.